The gorilla is waiting for me outside. McMurray stands in front of the closed door to the rec room. The gorilla beckons to me, then turns and marches down the corridor. So I play nice and tag along, with McMurray taking up the rear. The corridor is punctuated by frequent watertight bulkheads with annoying lintels to step over, and there's a shortage of portholes to show where we are. Someone's obviously done a first-rate coach-building job, but this ship wasn't built as a yacht, and its new owner clearly places damage control ahead of aesthetics. We pass some doors, ascend a very steep staircase, and then I figure we're into owner territory, because the metal decking gives way to teak parquet and hand-woven carpets, and up here they have widened the corridors to accommodate the fat cats. Or maybe it's just that they built the owner's quarters where they used to stash the Club N cruise missiles and the magazine for the forward 100mm gun turret. Club N vertical launch cells are not small, and the owner's lounge is about 3 meters longer than my entire house. It appears to be wallpapered in cloth of gold, which for the most part is mercifully concealed behind 90cm Sony displays wearing priceless antique picture frames. Right now, they're all switched off, or displaying a rolling screensaver depicting the TLA Corporation logo. The furniture's equally lacking in the taste department. There's a sofa that probably escaped from Versailles, one jump ahead of the revolutionary fashion police, a bookcase full of self-help business titles, a defendant's guide to the International Criminal Court, the 12-step sociopath, globalization for asset strippers, and an antique sideboard that abjectly fails to put the rock into baroque. I find myself looking for a furtive cheap print of dogs playing poker, or a sad-eyed clown, anything to break the monotony of the collision between bad taste and serious money. Then I notice the desk. Desks are to executives what souped-up Mitsubishi Colts with low-profile alloys, metal-flake paint jobs and extra-loud, chrome-plated exhaust pipes are to chavs. They're a big swinging dick, the proxy they use to proclaim their sense of self-importance. If you want to understand an executive, you study his desk. Billington's desk demands a capital letter. Like a medieval monarch's throne, it is designed to proclaim to the poor souls who are called before it, "The owner of this piece of furniture is above you." Someday I'll write a textbook about personality profiling through possessions, but for now let's just say this example is screaming "megalomaniac" at me. Billington may have an ego the size of an aircraft carrier, but he's not so vain as to leave his desk empty. That would mean he was pretending to lead a life of leisure, or to cover it with meaningless gewgaws, indicative of clownish triviality. This is the desk of a serious executive. There's a functional-looking watch-me-work PC to one side, and a phone and a halogen desk light at the other. One of the other items dotting it gives me a nasty shock when I recognize the design inscribed on it. Millions wouldn't, but the owner of this hunk of furniture is using a Belphegor Mandelbrot Type 2 containment matrix as a mouse mat, which makes him either a highly skilled adept or a suicidal maniac. Yep, that pretty much confirms the diagnosis. This is the desk of a diseased mind, hugely ambitious, prone to taking insanely dangerous risks. He's not ashamed of boasting about it. He clearly believes in better alpha primate dominance displays through carpentry. McMurray gestures me to halt on the carpet in front of the desk.
"Wait here. The boss will be along in a minute."
He gestures at a skeletal contraption of chrome steel and thin black leather that only Le Corbusier could have mistaken for a chair.
"Have a seat."
I sit down gingerly, half expecting steel restraints to flash out from concealed compartments and lock around my wrists. My head aches, and I feel hot and shivery. I glance at McMurray, trying for casual rather than anxious. The laundry field operations manual is notably short on advice for how to comport oneself when being held prisoner aboard a mad billionaire necromancer's yacht, other than the usual stern admonition to keep receipts for all expenses incurred in the line of duty.
"Where's Ramona?" I ask.
"I don't remember saying you were free to ask questions."
He stares at me from behind his steel-rimmed spectacles until icicles form on the back of my neck.
"Ellis has a specific requirement for an individual of her type. I'm a specialist in managing such entities.
A pause.
While you remain entangled, she will be manageable. And as long as she remains manageable, there will be no need to dispose of her.